Big Mac, Chicken McNuggets, no, Big Mac and Quarter Pounder with cheese.
Or Filet-O-Fish.
You'd be doing the same thing if you were at McDonald's, because you can choose not just one, but two of your favorites for just $6. Tasty Big Mac, crispy 10-piece Chicken McNuggets, juicy Quarter Pounder with cheese, or savory Filet-O-Fish. Enjoy two of your all-time favorites for just $6, if you can decide on the two. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Podcast brought to you by Dapper Apparel Company. My name is Dylan, and I am your host, and with me is Kevin Carter.
Hey, hey.
It's our monthly podcast, y'all. We're back.
We're back.
How you been doing, Kev?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. Just trying to survive this summer heat. It's been like mid-90s for the last 2 weeks, so.
Miserable.
Yeah, miserable. And like my, one way my apartment's set up is like at the end of the day, like that sun just beats in for 4 hours, so I gotta close all the blinds and just go into caveman mode just to not sweat sitting down.
It's not even worth like getting out for ice cream or anything.
No, dude, it's not. Like, I haven't even wanted to go shopping. Like, my fridge is barren right now because I just don't want to leave my apartment. So,
yeah, it's a complete shutdown after like 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. till like 9 p.m. And 9 p.m. you can like peek your head out and see if it's okay. Yeah. But yeah, that's true. It's been so freaking hot.
Yeah, dude. It's I mean, summer is here. Luckily, it's not been humid, knock on wood. But yeah, we haven't gotten that typical Cincinnati humidity quite yet. But yeah, I had a pretty significant storm roll in the other day, but still wasn't bad afterwards like it typically is. So
yeah, that almost cooled it off.
Yeah.
It felt good.
Which is weird because it usually just gets worse. It's like, fuck, it's raining. It's going to be miserable after this. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Yeah. What's been going on with you, Dale? What's life treating you, throwing at you these days?
Just been chilling.
Yeah.
We did that After Hours podcast, and it was good to see my buddy Dallas and my buddy Dev. Dallas lives up north, so he doesn't come down very often. So it was fun for them to come down, and that was something we kind of orchestrated last minute. And it was cool to talk about 2010.
Yeah, well, man.
Freaking moons ago.
Yeah.
Many, many moons ago. And yeah. That was a lot of fun going down memory lane, and no need to rehash because if you want to listen to it, you can go listen to it.
Just go listen to it.
Yeah, that was probably the highlight of my last couple weeks.
Nice.
And I'm excited to talk about some stuff because there's been a lot of good releases lately,
mm-hmm.
and it's been a while since I've been this excited to talk about some things that have come out.
Yeah, you were pumped to do this the other day. You're like, damn, I got some shit to talk about. Let's mm-hmm. go. Like,
yeah, right. Especially the movies that are the movie that I saw.
Right.
But yeah, if you want to put in Queen City for your Dapper Apparel Company order, you get 15% off. So put in Queen City, all caps.
Nice.
Yeah. If there's no other deals going on, you can't combine deals. Come on, man. It's small business. Support balls. Support some small business. So our next subject, things keep you up at night.
Yeah.
It's our favorite one. So, Kev, I'll let you go first. What keeps you up at night?
So, for any of you PlayStation people out there, Ghost of Tsushima came out Thursday. Thursday at midnight, so technically Friday. But I've done nothing but that since then, pretty much. Like, it's incredible. It's one of my favorite open world games I've ever played. For those of you who don't know, it's set in like the late 1200s in Japan during a Mongol invasion. It's fucking awesome. It's I don't know if anybody's like aware of Akira Kurosawa, who directed Seven Samurai. He's like a legendary director. Pretty much any major director for the last 100 years has cited him as like a huge influence on their work. And this game is set up like cinematography wise in his style. So it's like you're playing like a legendary director, like you're playing a video game of one of his movies. It's incredible.
Oh, that's cool.
It's gorgeous looking. I have it. You have the option to play with like English voice actors, but since it's set in Japan, I have it set to Japanese and I'm reading the subtitles with it, and it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been playing it so much. Like I had a dream, like, and I could hear like the Mongol archers like yelling in my dream because I've been playing the game so much. It's great, man. I haven't played a new series like this that I've been this excited about right away in a very long time. So it's really cool to play something that's not like a rehash of an old series or an ongoing series. It's a brand new thing. If you have any sort of love for Japan or just like beautiful scenery, give it a shot if you have a PS4, because it's gorgeous and it's a blast to play. So I've been streaming it on Twitch every now and again. Our buddy Mason has been watching just because he likes to listen to it, and it's just so peaceful. And but even in between like slicing people to death, but
it's beautiful though.
It's honestly, it's gorgeous to look at. Like, I was just stunned. Like, I've never used photo mode ever in any game, and I've used it a ton in this game.
I've seen some of your tweets.
They're gorgeous, dude.
Your Twitch, is that KCarter79?
Yes, KCarter79, just like everything else. So, yeah, I get on there intermittently. I don't, like, announce it or anything. I just kind of whenever I feel like streaming or so, like, if somebody wants to just, like, hey, I want to kind of want to see some gameplay or whatever. But, yeah, I'm always playing it, so... if you want to see it,
follow you and turn on the notifications.
Yeah, if you want to see it,
because I don't stream,
know.
But I love watching streams.
Yeah, me too. I've been doing that a lot recently, just with the Coach Dougs on PMT, and then watching whoever he starts to host after that. He hosted Gordon Hayward after his last match, which was pretty funny. I've been on Twitch a lot too. But yeah, Ghost of Tsushima is what's been keeping me up, because I've been up till 3 a.m. every night playing it. It's addicting. Like, I've been in Japan, like, for all intents and purposes for the last week.
Plus, trying to pronounce it is pretty tough, too.
Yeah, because I want to say ghosts, like, plural, but it's singular, because it's one guy who is the ghost of Tsushima.
That's like Letterkenny, where they say sushimis all the time. Yeah. Could never say it. For things that keep me up at night, my AC went out, and it's got you thinking... maybe I need to pay attention a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
You come home, you smell something burnt, and your AC's not on. It's not a good feeling. My dad and I fixed it, but it was something that I'd never really thought about. So it was cool to kind of open everything up and take a look at it, because I kind of avoid things until I have to confront them. So when something goes wrong, it's good to know what's
going
on.
To know how to fix it.
Rather than just paying someone to come fix it. It was cool that my dad's very knowledgeable with all that stuff. Mm. And
as dad should be.
Yeah. Which makes me terrified to be a dad myself someday. Because if my kid calls me and is like, hey, my AC went out, I'd be like, that really sucks.
Yeah, call somebody, dude. I don't know.
It sucks that it's a Saturday, because I don't doubt anybody's coming out.
What was it? Just like a clogged filter or something like that? Or?
No, it was a conductor. Conductor went bad.
Sure.
And
I don't know what that means, but yeah.
Yeah, it was like one little $20 part.
Yeah.
We fixed it, and AC was back on in 2 hours.
Nice.
And what's really nice about my house, I think I've talked about it plenty of times before, I have no overhead lighting, so a lot of my house is like natural lighting. So I closed all the blinds, and my house didn't go down a degree.
Yeah.
I turned the fans on higher, and it almost felt just as good as it normally does.
Yeah.
But blessings that in this god-awful heat that my AC didn't go out.
Yeah.
So thinking about that and thinking about how I probably need to check on those things a little bit more often has really kept me up at night.
Yeah.
Because I've had this house a year and
has it been a year already?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I
bought it in May of 2019.
Damn.
Yeah. So the fact that I don't know much about this house at all, I've been in the crawl space maybe twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's what's been keeping me up at night.
Yeah, I imagine, dude. I was just kind of worried about shit going wrong now.
Yeah. It's like, whoa. I am not in control like I thought it was.
Right.
So our beer of the show, Little King's Cream Ale. If you're from Cincinnati, you know Little King's. You've seen it. Or if you're like me and Kevin, you've seen it and never tried it.
Yeah.
But we got these little 7-ounce beers, and they're good.
They're tasty. I've heard legends from all the old timers in Cincinnati that I used to get so drunk off Little King, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, your 7-ounce beers, you old timer.
Yeah. I don't know if they're always these little tiny bottles, but... It's good. It's 5.5, which is pretty strong for just like a regular shitty beer. I don't know if it's, is it still brewed here? Yeah, brewed and bottled in Cincinnati, Ohio. So still made around here.
It's owned by Hootapool.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. Keep it in the fam. But yeah, Little Kings, I always like cream ales, but this one's pretty good.
This one's delicious. It's going down real smooth.
We said before the show, it looks like an L81.
It does. The green bottle and the cool green cap and...
So it makes me want to go fishing. That's the only time I drink LA 1 is to go.
Dude, fishing. I was addicted to LA 1 for a long time. It was all I drank. Like, my buddy introduced me to it. And, like, I go in ginger ale kicks, but this is the best one.
It's got caffeine in it. Drink them true.
It's great.
It's funny. Did you try the new ones, like the diet and the cherry?
No.
They branched out a little bit.
Don't fuck with ginger ale.
Yeah.
It's ginger ale is the perfect drink for when you're feeling like shit. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's the only time I ever drank it was like when I had a tummy ache, you know, as a kid.
Not like a hangover, but like a true,
like feeling like actually feeling like actual shit for no reason. Or that you just ate too many gummy bears or something. Mm-hmm.
Simpler times.
But yeah, my dad is always a huge ginger ale fan. So we always had it. But so I always liked ginger ale. But once I moved out, I didn't really drink it that much. Mm-hmm. And then I rediscovered LA 1 and
yeah, I worked.
Like, blew my socks off.
I worked at 7-Up, so I drank like Verner's and Canada Dry, all those random.
Verner's isn't bad.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Just because it's got a Viking on it. Yeah. That's the only reason I was like, this is sweet. A Viking? You tell me if I drink this, I become a Viking.
Yeah, dude.
Rape
and pillage.
Beer of the show, Little Kings. I don't know if we're going to post a picture of it because it's not like going to set the world on fire like the beers we've been drinking. I don't know.
Somebody might have taken like a really cool stock image for Little Kings out there.
I'm going to Google it. We're going to get into some news and sports. Mine's a little more depressing than yours, so I'll let you go first.
Okay. Well, the Reds are back, man. Reds are back starting this Friday. By the time this airs, it'll be one day away from opening of the unofficial opening day for the Reds. The Tigers are in town for a scrimmage tonight. They're going to have like the radio crew on calling it. And I think they're going to go with the piped in crowd noise, which is really weird. I watched a couple of the broadcasts, like the spring training games last year, and it's weird. Or last week. It's a little bit better with announcers. Like, they had Chris Welsh and somebody else in the booth last week to do like announcing during the game. And it's a little bit better with the announcers. It still sounds weird, though, with the piped in crowd noise.
Like a laugh track.
It's weird. It's weird. I kind of wish, like, I thought it was kind of cheesy, but I know some stadiums are like selling seats people to put their cutouts in, which I think is kind of funny.
A waste of money.
Yeah, but it's cool though. Like, you can, like, as long as it's not like it's family friendly, you can put, like, somebody bought one for their dog, so there's just a dog behind home plate in one of the stadiums, which is really funny.
Yeah.
I kind of wish the Reds have done something like that, because it's weird seeing an empty stadium and seeing like hearing crowd noise. It's just kind of weird. It's not that much different from a regular Red season, but because nobody goes,
especially by this time of the year when the Reds are almost
typically out of it.
Yeah.
I'm pumped for the baseball to come back. I've got like 4 fan duels running just to get to scratch that itch.
Yeah.
Cause normally I'm gearing up for fantasy football at this point, but who knows if that's going to happen. Which leads me to my next point. Yesterday, pretty much every single NFL player in the league yesterday tweeted at Roger Goodell and at the NFL about how there's no regulations in place. There's no safety protocol in place for these players. And they're supposed to be reporting, I think, today. A lot of them are. And they're just, the players are like, we want to play, but we're not going to play if you don't have these regulations in place. And so I don't know. I went from a month ago thinking there's absolutely going to be a full NFL season. Maybe with no preseason games or something, to now I'm not sure they're going to play.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Especially, how have they not ironed this all out by now? What have they been doing?
Who knows? I mean, it's they had the whole players agreement that, I think the players still got fleeced on. I mean, they can smoke weed now, but that's pretty much all they got. Yeah.
Get the important stuff out.
Right. But I just don't think anybody expected it to be this bad, like in March when we first heard about it. Like, oh yeah, we'll be fine by the time football season rolls around. And now that we kicked that can sufficiently down the street, nobody has a plan. Like, the NFL certainly doesn't. So we'll see, man. I hope and pray, because fantasy football is the only thing I live for anymore. The thing that keeps me alive from year to year is my fantasy league that I'm in with my buddies from high school, and I don't know what I'm gonna do if I can't play it.
Yeah, so. That's not good. The worldwide, I don't think you're alone in that.
No, I it's I don't know. It's going to be strange. It's going to be a weird season either way. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I mean, even if it is a full season, the amount of players that are going to go down with COVID, and that's going to crush a locker room. If one player gets it, you know, they're going to have to test the whole team, and that player's going to have to quarantine for 2 weeks. I don't know if they're going to quarantine the whole team, but they're going to have to at least quarantine that player. So, like, you know, fucking...
How are locker rooms going to work?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
Knee to knee.
I think that's the big issue with NFL specifically, is because there's so many people that go into running an NFL game and a team, so much more than like a basketball team and a baseball team.
Yeah.
I mean, 100 people minimum on a staff per team. So that's 200 people minimum in the stadium just for the teams. Then you got a whole broadcast crew, TV crew. It's like you got to have journalists on the sideline. It's like it's nuts. I mean, there's probably 500 people on that field.
Yeah, and it's not like the NBA where you can just like make a bubble.
Yeah.
The bubble is hilarious, by the way.
It's great. I love seeing all the shotgunning videos coming out of it.
Yeah.
And like I said, Gordon Haywood was fucking streaming on Twitch. He was streaming, what was he playing? Valorant, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was fucking weird, man.
Yeah. But yeah, I agree. It's going to be really tough for them to iron all that out, especially if they've done no planning, which it kind of seems like they haven't.
Nothing serious, at least. I mean, they don't really have a plan on how, like, what to do. Like, how are players going to get players going to get paid, like, if they have to go on IR for COVID? I mean, who knows? And I want to apologize to Tommy while we're thinking. Like, Tommy, who's been on the podcast a bunch, and then did Dollar Beer Night with us. He showed us those COVID face masks. And they actually are. It's actually a true-to-life proposal. And I was like, nah, there's no way they do this. But, yeah, it's the thing they're thinking about.
Holy smokes.
I got to apologize to Tommy. So, sorry, yep. Tommy. You were right.
We belittled what you said, and you were right.
Yeah.
I guess it's time for me to get into mine.
Let's get into it.
Taco Bell is revamping their menu. And if you care at all, which you should.
You should.
Let me just name some items that are being removed. The grilled steak soft taco. Doesn't really affect me. 7-layer burrito. Starting to hurt.
Yeah.
Nacho Supreme.
Yeah.
It's been in the menu for 20 years. I don't know that's true, but it seems like it. Beefy Frito burrito. Spicy tostada. Triple layer nacho. Spicy potato soft taco. Now I'm getting angry. Cheesy Fiesta potatoes.
Yeah, all potato-based ones.
What are drunk girls going to do now? They're losing a whole market there.
They're getting cheesy roll-ups, I guess.
I guess. Loaded grillers. So cheesy potato grillers, beefy nacho grillers.
Beefy nacho was a staple for me.
Chips and dip, which I've been eating since I could walk, and a mini skillet bowl, which I didn't know.
Did you mention quesaritos? Quesaritos
are gone too.
Which, again, was another staple of my order.
That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I get they have to thin some things out, and they always remove things that people are unhappy with, but this seems like, what's going on, Taco Bell? Is everything all right?
Yeah.
Has anyone checked on them lately? Plus, even better, the internet is, like, furious. It's like...
Yeah, of course they are. I mean, the internet will take any chance to get mad about anything, so...
There's some items in there, and I eat Taco Bell, like, once a month, maybe, so if they're missing out on... me buying a $1 loaded potato griller once a month, I think they're going
to
be okay.
Well, they had to be losing money on that shit, man. Like, that's cost more than a dollar to make those, I would imagine.
And I think they've done their research. They didn't remove these items because they were, like, in demand, and they're like, well, we're going to bring demand back.
Right.
Like, no, they're removing them because they weren't popular.
They're either not popular or they're losing money on them, or both. So. Yeah.
So, it was so funny... because my gut reaction was the same as the internet's, but I didn't go out posting about it. It was like, what the hell? And then I thought about it. I'm like, well, you know, they are a business.
Yeah,
they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when McDonald's brings back the McRib.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They can bring all this shit back, and they will. You know, I mean, and it, just because it's not on the menu anymore doesn't mean that they won't make it. Like, I get a chili cheese burrito every time I go, and it's not on it. It's not on most menus.
Yeah.
But they'll still make it. They still have all the shit to make most of that stuff.
Right.
So
and chips and dip. Come on.
Yeah, right.
Chips and dip. You're telling me you're losing money on chips and dip? That's where I draw the line.
Just order a taco shell and some cheese sauce, and you got your chips and dip. There's ways around it.
Yeah. But I just love the internet. Like, we need some... When sports are back, I think this is all going to kind of figure itself out.
Right.
But
yeah.
The things that we find ourselves angry about. Now, I will say, before we move on to movies, there is something I talked to you about, and I guess it's been around a while. I discovered the Keith Richards memes.
Oh, yeah.
Keith Richards is essentially just becoming Walker Texas Ranger.
Yeah. Fuck, Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris.
He was on the tip of my tongue.
I found some, he was like trending. So I was like, what, did he die? And then I just see memes and memes and memes. And I was dying. Yeah. So I'm going to read some aloud just so you can
get a verbal meme here.
Yeah. You ready for this?
Let's go.
The only thing to make it out alive from nuclear winter, cockroaches and Keith Richards.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the classic. That's when you told me when we were talking about this. I was like, oh yeah. Keith Richards who survived a nuclear blast. It's a classic.
Coronavirus is scared of being exposed to Keith Richards. And here's everyone being photoshopped from the Rolling Stones with masks on, but Keith Richards doesn't have one on.
You finding this as funny as it is funnier to me than the actual memes.
We need to start worrying about what kind of world we're going to leave for Keith Richards.
That one's great.
Like, he's a constant in this world. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's funny. For every cigarette you smoke, God takes a day off your life and gives it to Keith Richards. And that's all I wrote. But, yeah, that was one of the first times in a long time, besides TikTok, that Twitter really just had me all the way in.
Yeah.
I was very enthused to be reading stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, that's all the news and sports we got. We're going to move into movies. Kevin, I'll let you go first.
Okay.
First one is Riff Tracks.
Yeah, so you experienced a little bit of this with the other day. So Riff Tracks, if you guys are familiar with Mystery Science Theater 3000, it's Mike and the voices of the two original voices of the robots from that show. They kind of broke off and are doing their own thing now. Netflix bought the rights to Joel Hodgson, sold the rights to Netflix. So they're doing a new series of Mystery Science Theater, which is good.
Yeah.
But I like the original cast. Like, Mike was always my favorite human, and then the two robots were always my favorite. So if you're not familiar with the show, what they do is they watch cheesy movies, old and new, just really bad, like, B movies, and they make fun of them while you're watching the movie. And the one I showed a little bit to Dill was Birdemic, which is easily the worst movie ever made.
Oh my God. I almost felt like there was like a joke somewhere that just didn't land.
No, it's a completely 100% serious movie. And it's just the most God awful thing I've ever seen, but I love bad movies. So for me, watching a bad movie while professional comedy writers make fun of it and while it's happening is awesome to me.
Yeah. Those guys are very funny.
Yeah.
And it made an unbearable movie just like bent over laughing.
Right, right. Well, that's the whole concept of that show, is taking movies that would normally be unwatchable and making them funny and making them enjoyable to watch. And it certainly helped me get through Birdemic, because it is a preachy, fucking horribly edited mess. But I love it. But yeah, check out Riff Tracks. They have a bunch free if you have Amazon Prime. It's on there.
We didn't even see a bird in Birdemic till like minute 45.
40 minutes in until a bird shows up. It's insane.
Crazy.
It's all just exposition, and bad exposition at that. I mean, the first 2.5 minutes of the movie are just him driving in his Mustang in just regular traffic. It's garbage.
Absolutely. He gets out of his car, gets right back in it. He's like, oh, good.
It's just watching this guy drive around all day for the first 10 minutes. And then there's a terrible love story. There's like a 3.5 minute scene of a dance, like them just doing the worst white people dancing, like in front of a green screen. It's so fucking bad. But yeah, give Riff Tracks. It's spelled RIFFTRAX. I don't know why, but yeah, give them a shot if you are a fan of Mystery Science Theater, or you just want to laugh at bad movies while professional comedians make fun of it. That's all I've been watching pretty much, but I'm not playing, you know, video games. So yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah.
Give Riff Tracks a shot.
Mine is Palm Springs. It's exclusive to Hulu right now. It stars Andy Samberg and Kristen Milioti, and it is... There's a lot of Groundhog Day movies, and this is probably my favorite.
Interesting.
I really liked Happy Death Day. I love Groundhog's Day, but this one just puts a twist on it, and there's something so accessible and so likable about Andy Samberg that you kind of get lost in it.
Yeah.
Same way with Brooklyn, same way with Hot Rod. Sometimes I think he takes things that could, if anyone else was starring in it, it wouldn't work.
Yeah, because I when I saw the previews for Hot Rod, I'm like, this movie's gonna be fucking terrible. And then I actually watched it, and I was like, this is really funny. Like, it's actually a funny movie. And I didn't really like Andy Samberg until like that, and then Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I always thought he was kind of cheesy and like over the top, but he's actually a really good actor.
Oh yeah,
the comedic actor. So,
and this movie shows his layers similar to how Brooklyn does. Very subtle nuances that if you're paying attention, you'll catch the first time. But it's a great movie. I loved it so much that I watched it like 5 days later, just because.
Nice.
There's things you want to notice the second time around. And once you notice it the second time, I feel like it adds layers to the movie. And if it's a movie you can watch more than once, then it's even better.
Yeah.
And of course, Christa Milioti is beautiful.
When I read that, I thought it said Christina Milian at first. I was like, oh, what? It's a name I haven't seen in a while.
She stepped away from R&B. she was actually the mother in How I Met Your Mother. Not to spoil.
I don't care. I'm not going to watch it. You know this.
You could Google it and find that out just as easily. But yeah, she's not been in a lot. She's been in more recently since How I Met Your Mother and also Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, I almost kind of like that better. I like seeing like a good actor or actress in a movie that's really good that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
Like that's why Lord of the Rings worked so well, because a lot of those actors weren't big names.
I mean, when have you seen Sean Astin?
Well, yeah, I mean, Sean Astin has done a bunch, but like... But a lot of those, I'm
joking.
Like Viggo Mortensen. Nobody knew who the fuck Viggo Mortensen was before that movie. Like he'd acted for sure for a long time, but to me, he's always going to be Aragorn, you know?
Yeah.
And Orlando Bloom, he had done Pirates, but like they were coming out kind of concurrently. So he was still kind of on the rise. Same thing with Elijah Wood. People knew him, but he hadn't done anything really for a while. So yeah. I think that works really well. Like if you get good talent that you can really dive into a role and people don't expect you to be one thing or another. I think that always really works. So.
Yeah. And it also, Palm Springs has J.K. Simmons, who I love, and he was great in this movie.
Yeah.
Such a dickhead. Yeah. He always is. And I love it. Give me give me pictures of Spider-Man. Okay. That's enough Palm Springs, but yeah, I couldn't recommend it enough. If you need to do a trial of Hulu, whatever you need to do, watch it. It's my favorite movie of the year. Not that the bar is set very high for 2020, but I would definitely recommend it. It's free, essentially, if you're paying for Hulu. So let's get into TV.
Yeah, I don't have anything because I don't have cable currently, and I'm not watching anything but Riff Tracks. So I already kind of talked about what I'm going to do. So I'll just kind of pass the mic to you and let you go, bud.
Mine's pretty quick. There's a new docu-series on Netflix called Down to Earth with Zac Efron. It could easily be like a douche, preachy, try hard. We need to do better for the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, Zac Efron, same with Andy Samberg, he's got like an accessibility to him. And him going to other countries and cultures and showing how they do things doesn't seem like preachy. It seems more like educational.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's coming from a good spot. And the first place they go is Iceland. And Iceland's got their shit together, dude. And that's not a place you think like Iceland. That's like a booming metropolis, but the way they run their country is interesting, and I never knew any of that. So
yeah, I've heard Reykjavik is beautiful. So
yeah,
I'd like to go.
They've got like an endless amount of waterfalls, and he hosts it with a guy named Darren Olean, who I had no idea who he was before the show.
Never heard of him.
He's kind of like a health guy as well, and you know him and Zach are pretty funny. Just going back and forth because Darren's like a hippie, but he's also like 15, 20 years older than Zach. And it's kind of getting some buzz just because Zach takes a shirt off and he has like not a full 8-pack. He has like a 6-pack with a little bit of skin to it.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of felt about Zac Efron the same way I feel about most of those like teen stars from back in that time. Just that they're kind of douchey and I don't really want to, you know, do anything with them. But then he had an interview on Pardon My Take and it was one of their best interviews they've ever done.
Yeah.
And like, he seemed like a really cool dude. And like, I've been kind of following him since that interview and he seems like a legitimately just cool. He doesn't like Hollywood. Like he doesn't want to be in Hollywood anymore. He just kind of wants to be a dude.
Yeah.
And live his life. And I respect the hell out of that because he didn't become like a Hollywood douchebag. I mean, he's still got the, like, he kind of is, like, the lifestyle he leads is kind of like Hollywood douchebaggy, but he himself is not like that guy, which yeah. I think is always really cool.
I think it's similar to Matthew McConaughey. Like,
yeah,
I always thought of him as kind of like a tool. And then you see him like in a different light, whether it's through acting or through like an interview or something. Cause Matthew McConaughey, until I saw True Detective, I was like, nah.
Yeah, sure.
And I saw True Detective and he was just like a completely different person. So.
Yeah. I mean, I get that because his roles up to that for the last, like the 5-10 years before that were all just romantic, like
him
comedies.
And Kate Hudson. Yeah,
getting
searching for gold.
What was that one where they got like in a plane wreck or whatever? It's fucking just Jesus Christ. How many movies can you make that are the same plot with the yeah. same woman? Like, it's Jesus Christ. But my I've always loved him because my first introduction to him was Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
Which is one of the best like teenage party movies of all time. Like mm-hmm. it might be the best party movie of all time. And like we were talking about it today, he was supposed to only have like 2 lines in that movie, but he did them so well. Like they wrote like a whole character for him. And he in that movie, he's the older kid who's kind of hanging out with high school kids still. And is like, yeah, he's fucking hilarious.
Pretty relatable because
yeah,
there still is those people.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Still are those people.
Still are. Yeah, whatever.
Still is.
But yeah, he's great in that movie. He's fucking hilarious. It was filmed in the early 90s, so it was one of his first like actual like big movies that he was in, and yeah, he's awesome. So I've always loved him, but then I kind of again fell out of love with him once he became like a pretty boy romantic guy, and then Dallas Buyers Club and True Detective kind of turned me back around on him. So
yeah, Zac Efron was actually in a movie called Liberal Arts.
Mm-hmm.
I had Josh Radnor wrote it and directed it. He's the lead from How I Met Your Mother. How many times can I mention that today? The world may never know. But he played like this small role in it, but he was fucking phenomenal yeah. in it. And it was just like, kind of like in Django Unchained with the whole mask scene. It's super fucked up.
Yeah.
But it was like such a twist and so funny that like it just brought some levity to the whole movie.
Yeah. It's such a challenge. Like you can bring up that scene. It's such a challenge to write something like that and make it funny.
Mm.
And, you know, credit to the writers and the actors to make it like a credible, funny thing and like kind of... Like, this is fucked up, but this is also what they're saying is really funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, credit to them.
Yeah. So, Zac Efron, I watched the first 2 episodes, haven't finished it, but first 2 episodes, I'm in. We need to do better. That yeah. was kind of the thesis of what he was trying to say. And normally, I'm not the whole, like, oh, okay. I watched this docuseries, now I'm ready to make some change. But, yeah. you know, this one, he had some good points and, rather than just saying, like, the world's fucked up, just coming up with solutions. Like, going to other places and showing, like, this is how they're doing it. Mm-hmm. What's stopping us from doing it
right,
that way?
Exactly.
So, it was cool.
Can I mention something real quick that's yeah. really pissing me off?
Yeah.
It's that I just want to watch a documentary that is an hour long.
Mm-hmm.
Why the fuck are they all 10 parts now? Like, it shit pisses me off. Like, I don't want to watch, dude. I don't want to settle in for a week of a story. Because that's what it is. I'm not going to settle in for 10 hours. I'm not going to watch that Epstein documentary because I don't fucking care. I don't want to watch 10 hours about Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
Condense it to 2 hours.
I watched it, actually, and I didn't write it down because it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Like it could easily be a two, like you said, hour, 2 hour.
Yeah. Making a Murder or whatever the fuck that was called. That didn't exist until that.
Mm-hmm.
That's when these like multi-part documentaries started coming out. And it just fucking drives me nuts, dude.
Too many minutia details that repeat themselves, and yeah, I agree.
That's why I love like Operation Odessa. It's an hour and 15 minutes, and you get everything you need, and it's compact, and it's funny, and it's interesting. But you want to keep watching it because they have to move quickly because they have that time constraint, and they don't have to draw shit out just for the because like the last 3 episodes of Tiger King were fucking awful.
Yeah, didn't even watch them.
Yeah, that could have been 4 episodes. It could have been a 2-hour-long documentary for, you know, because they didn't do it. Like, they just kept showing this guy being crazy, and that was, like, the first 2 episodes. That could have been the first 20 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we get it. This guy's a fucking nutcase. Mm-hmm.
I think the most appropriately, like, spaced out one was Don't Fuck with Cats.
Yeah, that was 4 episodes. That's doable. You mm-hmm. can do that in a night if you want, or over 2 days.
Yeah.
Like, that one needed to be...
There was so much to it.
Because the first two are like setting up what this guy did. And then the second two are like an actual true crime documentary as they're chasing this guy around the world. And That one was great. Like, I actually really enjoyed that one. I finished that one. I watched three episodes, and then I finished the next one the next night. And so that, like, yeah, the next day. So that I can deal with. But these fucking 10-part documentaries, like, I don't care this much.
Yeah. And the R. Kelly one, I think, is the worst example of it because they did an eight-part series, repeated themselves a lot. And I thought it was important and it was good to watch. But the second part, like, it was just, like, more people coming forward. Yeah. It's like, holy shit, guys, this is... I mean, it's sad, but, like, we got him.
Yeah, we got him.
We set out what we were going to do with the documentary.
Well, the Aaron Hernandez one, too, is the same thing. Like, I watched the first episode. I'm like, there's so much fluff in this first episode.
Yeah.
Like, why are they talking so much about him being gay? It literally doesn't mean anything.
Conjecture.
Yeah. It doesn't mean it. It literally has no bearing on him why he killed this guy.
Yeah.
They spent like 20 minutes on the first episode of talking about Aaron Hernandez possibly being gay or being gay.
That one dude could not wait to line up for that interview.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we fooled around in high school.
Yeah, his high school. Yeah, his high school boyfriend or whatever. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's just such a perfect example of why that should have been an hour-long documentary.
Yeah.
Here's what he did. Here's how we caught him. Fuck Aaron Hernandez. I think
they're like, if we're going to spend 3 months on this... We're going to use all the footage.
Yeah, I mean, they got a Netflix budget, so fuck it. Let's use it all. So that's the only reason they're doing it. So that turned into quite a tangent, but it just pisses me off, man. Like, I miss the days of being able to sit in, watch like a true crime, like Dateline. Dateline's perfect.
Yep.
It's an hour long. You get a good story. It's true crime, and they got nice little twists in here and there.
I've been watching Cold Case Files on Netflix.
Yeah.
And those are nice because they're like 45 minutes and each story like has a resolution.
Yeah. And I've heard the new Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix is really good too.
I can't do that though. There's no resolution.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's a good point actually, I suppose, but I don't
tell us this whole story and tell us nothing's changed since the very beginning. I don't want to know. I'd rather not even know.
They should just be 30-second episodes. This is what happened. We haven't solved it yet. Next episode.
Someone died. We haven't solved it. All right. Episode 2. But here's what we know.
Oh, I mean, fucking, they made the Titanic into a 3-hour-long movie. Everybody That's knew true. How it ended. So, I mean.
You're meaning to tell me Jack dies.
That was the twist. That was the twist. Like, oh,
you
shit.
You mean to tell me Jack couldn't fit on that door?
No, he definitely could.
Weight distribution. It wouldn't have worked out.
It would have been fine.
That would have broke up anyway.
Yeah, right.
Love doesn't exist.
Yeah.
We're not even that drunk, but...
No, we've had 2 7-ounce beers.
Yeah.
That's
not even a beer at B-Dubs yet.
No, it's not.
If we have one more, I think we're there.
Yeah.
With 1 ounce. We need an extra ounce. Anyway, let's get into music. This is what happens when we don't have a lot of notes for the show.
Yeah, that's right.
It just gets a little wonky.
You go first this time.
Okay. Quinn 92. I had an ex-girlfriend tell me I looked like him a long time ago, and it got me listening to him. You're going to look at him and be like, no way.
Well, you say this every time you bring him up, and I just never looked him up. So
Jeremy and I were actually together when an ex-girlfriend texted me and was like, listen to Quinn 92, you kind of look like him. And I looked him up and I was like, okay, I don't think we're seeing the same person, but I really liked his music and I've been keeping track of him ever since.
Dude, you look nothing like him.
I know.
That's weird.
So, you know, is what it is. At least I discovered a new artist that way. Yeah. He released a new album called A Letter to My Younger Self. It's probably... my least favorite song on the album. It's with Logic, but there's a lot of good songs. He's just been putting out music consistently for the last 4 years, and it's pretty impressive the amount of songs he's put out, and, you know, it's good music.
Yeah.
It's not always like, wow, this is like hitting my soul, or wow, this is the best song I've ever heard.
But yeah, it's music doesn't have to do that every time, though. It can just be enjoyable to listen to. That's what pop music is. So.
Yeah, and that's kind of, he's a pop artist, so... You know, it doesn't always strike the biggest chord, but, you know, if he's consistently good, then I'll keep listening.
Yep.
Second one I got, Juice WRLD. Didn't even know Juice WRLD died, so...
Wait, what?
You know, he's... Yeah, he released this album, but he died in December of 2019. So this is like Avicii releasing that
album. Yeah, the posthumous album, yeah.
Yeah. So he released an album called Legends Never Die. I think people went through and finished some of his songs.
Yeah.
My favorite one by far is the one with Marshmello.
I have heard that one. Yeah, I heard that when it dropped. That's really good.
Yeah. The introduction of the guitar in that song. Oh, man. The first time I heard it, I was like, shoom, yep. Turned it all the way up, had to restart the song because I was like, I'm not appreciating this enough. Right, I gotta restart. So yeah, the Juice WRLD album, I really don't throw down with rap that often, but this one.
kidding with that sentence.
I really
I don't throw down with the hip hoppers.
You young whippersnappers with your hip hop. Shit. Yeah.
I don't get down in the hood, G.
What's a crisscross?
Oh, God. Sorry. Sorry.
Oh, shit. But yeah, I really like the Juice WRLD album. Fuck you.
No, dude. Sorry. I'm sure it's good. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. There's a song with Halsey. I mean, there's nice. It's a bunch of people collaborated with it.
Halsey's been on fire recently. She's been releasing a lot of stuff, so.
Yep. She's a bad bitch.
Bad. She is fucking fine, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. She posted D.Va cosplay from Overwatch. Man, oh, man.
Yeah. Goodness gracious. She gets the Wendy Peppercorn treatment, so she don't know what she's doing. Yeah. I'll do one more, and then I'll let you go, and then I'll finish it.
Okay, cool.
Third one I have, Dangerous Summer has a new song called Fuck 'Em All.
Fuck 'Em All.
They're just now creating their own record label and releasing music on their own. So I think Fuck Them All kind of has to do with record labels.
Yeah, makes sense.
A story as old as time. Bands hate their record labels. But Dangerous Summer changed their sound a little bit with this one. It kind of sounds like a Death Cab song.
Interesting.
With the intro. They've always been more alternative rock, alt pop, you know, sure. One of those. But it's cool to listen to them change their sound and evolve because they were broken up for about 6-7 years and they released 2 albums back to back year after year. And so rather than just keeping with the traditional sound, they've tweaked it a little bit. And I'm always going to be a Dangerous Summer supporter because I found them when I was like a freshman in high school. Yep. When they released their first EP and
yeah.
The singer from All Time Low is featured on it, so that's how I found it, and it's just been cool to watch them progress over the years.
Yeah, that's like me with All That Remains. Like I saw them like right before they really blew up. I saw them at Ozfest in 2003. That was my first ever concert,
mm-hmm.
And they were still like selling their little demos outside of like the second stage where they played, and they're fucking great, or at least they were. I don't know if they've been doing anything recently, but I'm always going to be a fan of like those first 3 albums that they did. Man, mm-hmm. They're fucking awesome. And just to know that I got to see them before they really kind of blew up in the metal world, like, that's always going to be, like, a cool memory for me. So.
Oh, yeah. So, I'll let you take yours.
Yeah, so, I haven't been listening to... I've been listening to a lot of, like, classical music. I'm kind of in a classical kick. So I'm not going to talk about that because nobody gives a fuck about the classical music I've been listening to. But I've been listening to the Steve Austin Show. This is Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast. And if you have any sort of interest in wrestling from now until like all the way back through like the 70s, his interviews are incredible because it's an old wrestler talking to other old wrestlers. And now that kayfabe is gone and they can kind of talk about the behind the scenes of the business. For those of you that don't know, kayfabe is like the era of like pre-attitude era where everybody like wrestlers weren't allowed to go. Like if you were a heel, you weren't allowed to go out and be seen at a bar with another babyface wrestler. Like if you were a nemesis in the ring, you had to protect the storylines. Like they wanted it to, like they wanted the perception to be that all of this stuff was real and really happening. Like you couldn't be friends with, like if you had a storyline where you were hating somebody, you couldn't be seen. You could get fired for that. So that's what kayfabe is. So that's, now that the kayfabe has kind of been like Vince McMahon's kind of taking the veil off and these guys are allowed to talk about the behind the scenes stuff that they've never been able to talk about until very recently. It's super interesting, man. I just listened to Jerry the King Lawler one episode, which was 2 parts, and he really went in depth about his rivalry with, Man on the Moon guy, Andy Kaufman.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So the guy from Saturday Night Live, really weird guy. He went into like, how genius of a wrestling mind like that Andy Kaufman was. And it was so interesting to listen to Jerry the King Lawler talk about that rivalry from the 70s and how much like Andy Kaufman really changed the world of pro wrestling. Like he was the first true, like, cause he was a huge Hollywood star at the time. And before that, nobody, like, wrestling was still regional. Like you had your Memphis region, you had your North region, like nobody mixed regions. And now it's like an international thing. And so he really gave like the world of professional wrestling, like, legitimacy. And, he did one with Vince McMahon that was super interesting. And they talked about like shit you would never hear before. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool to kind of see these guys opening up. And like Undertaker was like the last guy that really still honored kayfabe. And now he's finally talking about stuff like behind the scenes stuff. So yeah, if you have any sort of interest in wrestling, or you just like hearing guys tell cool stories about like stuff that they're passionate about, because wrestlers love retelling stories, and they're all natural storytellers because they have to be.
You
know, they have to be a good personality, or they're never gonna, you know, get over, as they call it. You know, then that's another thing they use. They have so many like pro wrestling specific terms, like if they call something a work, like that's just like something that they're doing to like. It's part of a storyline, but you don't like nobody else knows it, but the people involved with it.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that. I had to look up so many terms just listening to it, but it's so cool to think about it because they have their own language.
Yeah.
And we didn't know that until kayfabe stopped becoming a thing. So if you, like I said, if you like Steve Austin, you like wrestling, or like I said, you just like cool conversations with interesting people, Steve Austin Show is awesome. And he makes an effort to keep it PG too, so everybody, like the whole family, can listen to it. Like obviously he wants to swear, but he can't, or he doesn't.
Yeah.
He makes a conscious effort to make it accessible for everyone, which I kind of respect. So
yeah, that's always cool. I almost like listening to podcasts sometimes that like bleep out swear words.
Yeah.
It takes me back to like edited music that we had to listen to.
Dude, downloading a song that you've been waiting for it for fucking 20 minutes to download, and then it's the edited version, like on fucking LimeWire. Oh, that was the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, you got the edited version, especially if you burned it onto a CD and you didn't know about it and you played it for your friends.
But for some reason to me, even like back in like old YouTube, back there was a Whitest Kids You Know. They had a script where they were showing them kill Abe Lincoln, and it was all edited. So it like bleeped it out every time.
Right.
And it was so much funnier. I watched it without like the bleeping out of the swear words, and I thought it was like not even close to being as funny.
Yeah, sometimes the edited versions of things are hilarious. Like the Die Hard edit for TV is Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. It's one of the funniest like dubs of all time.
Yeah.
The same thing with the Big Lebowski edit. There's a part where Walter Sobchak is yelling at the kid. He's like, "This is what happens. This is what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass." And they changed it in TV to, "This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps," which makes no sense. And it's one of my first time I heard it, dude, I fucking cried laughing. "This is what happens, Larry. This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps." As he's like beating on a car. Oh my God. Man. So funny. Mr. Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. And this is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps are two of the funniest things. And it honestly makes those scenes funnier that are already kind of funny. So
I remember my dad had a DMX album and it was all edited. So like he would, instead of like doing the bleep, it would do like,
yeah,
woof, and he was like making dog sounds. And that's the only way I can listen to DMX now. Try listening to him cuss. I'm like,
this
isn't
the original version.
DMX, you potty mouth. Go back to growling. Yeah, that's so funny. Speaking of podcasts that are pretty enlightening, the guy that played Kevin from The Office, Brian Bumgarner.
Yes, that sounds right.
He is doing like an oral history of The Office. It's like a part every week he's releasing a new part, starting from the very beginning, going through like the oral history of The Office, obviously, and interviewing like higher ups from NBC, people that created the show, Ricky Gervais. He's getting all these people involved, and the way he tells it is so interesting.
Yeah.
Like I just sat in my backyard, and rather than like watching something all day on TV, just listening to the first four parts, and it was so interesting.
Yeah,
everything that went into The Office. I feel like the rewatches that I've been doing with Office Ladies and the Scrubs rewatch are kind of missing that kind of part. part because
yeah, right.
every time they have to like focus on an episode or it like gets tangential and there are episodes that I kind of want to hear the back story.
Right.
To,
but so. They're friends. So they have like, you know, they're going to
like
talk,
a catch up like part, yeah. you know, current event part. It's like, this is a rewatch.
Yeah.
But I thought the oral history of The Office is great because Brian does a really good job. You can tell he's done his research. And there's a lot of new interesting things because The Office sometimes is oversaturated with everyone talking about it, the memes, even the office lady sometimes. It's like,
well, that's what I was going to mention is like there seems like there's so much office stuff recently. Like everybody's just kind of been falling in love with The Office all over again, it feels like, in the last year. I mean, just because people are binging it again during COVID, I guess. But
and it's leaving Netflix soon.
Oh, is it? Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
So it was cool just to have a fresh... something that's not, I don't think Brian's doing it to be like profitable or like make it a whole enterprise, but like telling the story of The Office through and through almost feels like a genuine documentary,
yeah.
which is pretty cool. And they're all like 40-minute episodes. So they're never like daunting to listen to.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, the last thing I have is Black Bear's new single Queen of Broken Hearts. Black Bear, I don't know. I mean, he's not setting the world on fire, a lot like Quinn, but every single he releases, I listen to him, I'm like, damn, this is fucking great.
Yeah.
And I know he has an album coming out, but you can listen to it and tell me, how is he the queen of broken hearts if he himself is not a woman?
Maybe he identifies as a woman, dude.
Maybe.
It's 2020.
But I want you to listen to it and tell me if the chorus makes any sense to you
okay.
and the name of the song. Because okay. to me, I listened to it and I was like, wait, who's the queen of broken hearts? I was trying to find the lead in this song.
Maybe it's just metaphorical, man. Maybe it's the queen of hearts from like, Alice in Wonderland. And...
is this a cover?
Yeah.
is this a Britney Spears song that I forgot about? but yeah, that was all the music I had.
Yeah.
You have anything else you want to add?
Nah, dude, I don't think so. Like I said, just listening to a bunch of classical that nobody cares about. So,
yeah.
A lot of Paganini. If you don't know Paganini, he was like a rock star violinist back in the day. Like, legitimately, like his pieces are well known for being super hard.
Yeah.
And like, not impossible to play, but like a lot of soloists play a lot of like Pag 24.
How are you listening to it?
Either on YouTube, I'll watch like Hilary Hahn or somebody like that, like a well known soloist play, or. I'll just look up like a composer that I want to listen to on Spotify.
So, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to know what I'm talking about, just listen to Pag 24. You've probably heard at least part of Paganini Caprice number 24. But yeah, I've been listening to stuff like that. That's not necessarily like super like nice to listen to, but it's technically very difficult to play. So
yeah.
So, yeah, I don't really have anything else other than that.
Cool. So just to wrap up the show, I forgot to mention it at the very beginning. This is today or yesterday, I guess, when this will be released. Yesterday was our 3-year anniversary of releasing our first podcast,
woo-woo.
Which is super exciting. There's been a lot of changes. We started out as No Nonsense. You guys have heard our oral history before. You can no longer hear our No Nonsense podcast, but you're stuck with Queen City, and I'm excited for our future. Going forward, it's been nice having Kevin come in and be a staple for me. You complete me. Mini me, are you hungry? You want a hot pocket? Yeah, it's been so much fun having you step in because I feel like you and I have gotten closer just doing it week to week.
For sure.
And you know, we used to talk monthly maybe, and mm-hmm. now we talk, you know, once a week, and it's been fun to have someone bounce ideas off of.
Yeah, dude.
And
well, it feels like back when we were working together, when we worked together all the fucking time. And
yeah.
All we would do was argue with each other. And I loved it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good to get back to that. And we just have like I think we have a good like chemistry and a good friendship. So
yeah,
I think it works. Hopefully it comes across on the podcast too. So
I'm sure it does. But we're going to be doing something, me and Kevin and Jeremy, our old host is going to be, we're going to be doing something special, probably not a traditional, Queen City podcast, but, we're going to be doing something special to celebrate our 3 years. It's going to be coming out in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, this is special to me because I introduced Jeremy to everybody else. Like I brought Jeremy with me from Nike and I feel like everybody needs to meet and talk to Jeremy in person at least once because he is an incredible human being. He's strange and wonderful, and I love him, and I can't wait to see him again. It's been way too long.
Yeah, and it's going to be exciting to get him behind a mic, and he's not going to have a laptop. He's going to be a guest. That'll be that'll be weird for him. I'm sure he's going to love it, though, especially since it's been a long time since I've seen him, and it's probably been just as long for you.
He came into the store right before we shut down, so it's been a few months, but before that, it had been probably a couple of years since I'd actually seen him in person, so... I love Jeremy. So I can't wait to see him and do a podcast with him finally.
Yeah. So, be sure to look out on the horizon. We'll be doing a 3-year anniversary show and, we'll see you guys soon. See ya.
Big Mac, Chicken McNuggets, no, Big Mac and Quarter Pounder with cheese or Filet-O-Fish. You'd be doing the same thing if you were at McDonald's because you can choose not just one, but two of your favorites for just $6. Tasty Big Mac, crispy 10-piece Chicken McNuggets, juicy Quarter Pounder with cheese, or savory Filet-O-Fish. Enjoy two of your all-time favorites for just $6, if you can decide on the two. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Each of us has a purpose. We are destined to do something meaningful, not only to support our loved ones, but to positively impact our communities throughout the country. What do you think a private Christian education looks like? Grand Canyon University graduates 25,000 students yearly and offers more than 225 high-quality programs across 9 colleges. Find your purpose at GCU. Visit gcu.edu.